We have two guests with us from different political perspectives joining us this hour to review Governor Walker's book and the healthcare.gov fix and to assess the race for governor in 2014 and maybe the race for president in 2016. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will hear from two thoughtful and civil guests, just how you like them, John Nichols and Brian Schimming. After we get a jump on a very, very important hour in our year-end mini-drive, joining me with a humongous challenge is producer Bill Martins. Bill, what is this challenge all about?
Yeah, we've got a special match this hour up to $30,000. $30,000 from a group of generous donors who want to encourage you to join them in supporting WPR. So this is the hour to pledge if you didn't do so last hour. Get your pledge doubled right now and get us well on the way to our success in this mini pledge drive when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It'll take everyone's help to meet that generous match. $30,000.
That is amazing. And that is thanks to the generosity of Wisconsin Public Radio contributors who want to encourage you to also make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. They value this service so much that they have ponied up $30,000. I just am overwhelmed, and I think that's wonderful. And we do have a goal of what, 420 pledges, I think, during this particular hour. But what really matters is $30,000 is if you make a pledge of you know, $100, it's going to be doubled to $200. Mm-hmm. If you make a $10 pledge, it's doubled to $20. Up to $30,000. So $60,000 could be the end result of this hour with your help at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So when you make a donation during our year-end mini-drive, you help WPR thrive in 2014.
Your first ever gift, your extra year-end gift. Right now, it's so important as we close the book on books on 2013 and get ready for the new year.
And certainly, there's going to be no shortage of news and issues in 2014. It's an election year, remember?
Right.
And thanks to your support, WPR will be here to deliver it all. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a great time of year to think about what's important to you and to back up your values with action. Because WPR is important to you, make your gift now. You'll feel great when you do. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
What I like about Wisconsin Public Radio is that it can brighten my day and help me laugh. Radio personalities like Tom and Zorba.
And a recipe.
Alana's chicken noodle soup. I love chicken noodle soup. Love it, love it, love it.
And some of the NPR shows. Such as Prairie Home Companion.
Nobody will ever look at me with disdain again.
I will, I can promise you that.
Really? I know that I can turn on the radio and have a brighter day.
Well, you can make our day a brighter day by making a contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't miss out on your chance to have your pledge matched dollar for dollar. The match we have this hour is only... for this hour is our only match of this drive, I'm trying to say. So it's a big one, up to $30,000 from a group of very generous donors. Give now and double your impact at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's right. This is a half-day drive when we hope to raise about at least a half a pledge drive's worth of contributions. And this dollar-for-dollar match during this hour is so important. Your pledge can be doubled. It'll go twice as far in paying for Wisconsin Public Radio programming. So make that pledge now. Double it right now. Whatever it is at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks, Bill. We'll just keep on getting updates throughout the hour from you on how we're doing on this challenge. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Very happy to have with us two guests who we have talked to before, and that's one one of the reasons we invited them back. You said you really enjoy hearing from John Nichols and Brian Schimming, talking about issues of the day. John Nichols is the associate editor for the Capital Times and the Washington, D.C. correspondent for The Nation magazine. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us. And also, we have with us Brian Schimming, vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Joy and John.
It's good to have you both. And John, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention your book. What's it called again?
It's called Dollarocracy.
Dollarocracy. And the theme of dollarocracy will come up in one of our topics today. But I do want to, I guess we wanted to start off with healthcare.gov. The Obama administration says the site now works at least more than 90% of the time, which is a far cry from October when it had a 43% success rate. But the administration admits some people are still likely to encounter some problems. So, Brian Schimming, are you satisfied now, or are you buying that the website problems are under control?
Well, I'm not buying it, Joy, because they aren't under control. I mean, the problem is, number one, we got to remember from whence we came here. I think it's important on topics like this, and that was the president said, well, you know, if you like your health care, you can keep your health care. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, period. Those were his words. And that was a little more than just loose rhetoric. I mean, that was what I think, anyway, is a fundamental deception of the people and, frankly, the members of the U.S. Senate who are on the hook to get this thing passed in the end. So as we went through this whole process the last couple of years, we were assured dozens of times by the White House that this thing would be ready to go on October 1st. And, of course, we all know now that it's not, and now supposedly it is ready to go, although, in truth, it's not. The back end of it is not, and we're now a couple hours into it, so we don't know how good the front end is. Look, the website's a huge part of this issue. The deception is a huge part of this issue. But frankly, the big thing, factually, is you have millions of people getting cancellation letters for their current insurance. It's what's driven the political environment to where it is. Look, the president of the United States, who got reelected a year ago, now has 52% of the people in this country saying that they don't feel they can trust them. That's a big problem, not just for the website.
Let's get John in on this. Do you think the Obamacare critics no reason to rip the website anymore?
Oh, I think they have a good reason to rip the website. And I think that the president himself has been very, very critical of it, and that's the appropriate thing. Look, this has been a mess. Nobody should suggest differently. And I think that I was intrigued by my friend Brian's timeline. He begins it with the president promoting this reform. I would take the timeline back to before you had the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, and say, well, where were we at? We were in a country with about 45 million people uninsured, another roughly 45 million underinsured, where tens of millions of people with pre-existing conditions worried about whether they might go broke, literally, if they had a flare-up or had a problem getting their care, where families didn't know what to do with their young adult children because they weren't covered and they fell into all these gaps. The Affordable Care Act is a broad act. It does a lot of things. And frankly, it hasn't done – the implementation has been underserved. I would have loved a single-payer plan that had everybody in, nobody out, much easier system, much like Medicare, Medicaid at its best. But we didn't go there. We went with this complex system, which actually was based on, of course, plans from the Heritage Foundation and others, Romney's plan in Massachusetts. I don't like this hybrid stuff, but that's what we've got, and it's more complicated. And the only thing I'll remind people of is something that Gene Farley, one of the great Wisconsinites who passed away just a couple weeks ago, a physician who started the family medicine program at the University of Wisconsin, or at least really put it into play. Gene Farley watched the implementation of Canada's national health care plan, helped to actually do implementation of Jamaica's and other countries, and he told me a very interesting thing. He said there's never been a plan like this that didn't start with something akin to a train wreck. Just in Canada, the doctors went on strike. In other countries around the world, there's been just horrible resistance, all kinds of messes, and yet at the end of the day, today in Canada, roughly 95% of people say they prefer their plan to the American plan. Around the world, you couldn't find anyone who would go to the old American system as opposed to where hopefully we're headed. And so, you know, I think that's the perspective I'd bring to it. You don't have to defend a bad website or all the problems. You can be very disappointed in the people who tried to implement this. But when we're all done with all this, I think we'll have a healthcare system that moves slowly in the right direction, which is for coverage of all Americans at a low cost and with universal care.
Let me get a caller in. Ronaldo in Black River Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I agree with your first guest there. We're focusing so much on this web page, and the president promised that we would keep our coverage. I lost my coverage, and I'm tired of the talking point on this and how this is supposed to be better in America. When 5 million people have lost their coverage, more people have lost their coverage than gaining it through this Obamacare.
All right, Ronaldo, thank you. What about John? What do you say to Ronaldo?
I think people – look, my problem with this whole thing from the start was the maintaining of private coverage. I think we should have a universal plan, single payer, and running like Medicare, Medicaid. It's unfortunate that we don't. When you do a situation like that, you're going to have the twists and turns. If the president – and the president did say stuff about you'll be able to keep your coverage, I think you should let people do that. The funny thing about this is I can't think of a bigger government initiative than telling insurance companies they've got to maintain people on their coverage. And, of course, if you're going to do it the right way, you have to tell the insurance company that they must maintain the coverage at the same price with the same level of coverage. They can't change anything. Now, that's one of the biggest government interventions in the private sector I've ever seen. I'm intrigued that many of my Republican and conservative friends favor that, but I don't mind that. That's fine.
Brian, what do you see as the next big story with regard to the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the Washington Post has got a front pager this morning about some of the additional issues that are going to come as we go forward here. Truth of the matter is people in this country are going to have worse coverage for more cost than they had before, and as millions of people are losing their coverage that the president told them they could keep right now and going to be losing the doctors the president told they can keep. I think they may come to a point. Look, they have to sign up. I forget what the number is, 245,000 people every day between now and December 23rd to make the January 1st deadline. That's not going to happen. I mean, that simply is not going to happen. So I think the Democrats in the U.S. Senate who are now in full panic mode about this have a reason to be, and working people in Wisconsin and across the country are going to lose their coverage with no answers from the Obama administration.
John?
Well, I think, you know, I actually talked to a lot of members of the Senate, and I haven't heard quite the full panic mode. But I do think that Brian's – and I also would kind of maybe differ on the 245,000 a day. That's to reach a goal that has, I think, already been long abandoned. But I do think that there's a real issue here, and this is the one to be concerned about. That is that on the humanitarian side, there are a lot of Americans who need care, and it is the job now, because of this mix of government and private sector, of both the private sector and the government to make sure that they get their care. And so – if it is necessary to address these issues, to blow out barriers, to make things happen, it should be done. And, you know, I am not of the camp that thinks that it is important to maintain Obamacare as it was written. If it needs to be rewritten and restructured, great. I love the fact that Vermont right now is taking a component of Obamacare and implementing a single-payer plan. And I think, frankly, that's where states should be going across this country. Give people more, not less. I hate the current debate because it's all petty politics. Oh, I don't like what the president said. I don't like what the Republicans said. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't care about that. What I care about is making sure that people who are sick get health care when they need it.
John Nichols is the associate editor of the Capital Times and the Washington, D.C. correspondent for The Nation magazine. And Brian Schimming is vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. We'll talk about the 2014 gubernatorial race in Wisconsin coming up in our next segment. But first, Bill Martens joins me once again with this update on our huge challenge that we have going on during this year-end mini drive.
Yeah, we have a special match going on this hour, up to $30,000 from a group of generous donors who want to encourage you to join them in supporting WPR. So get your pledge doubled right now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We need everyone's help to meet that generous match. So take advantage this hour only, $30,000. That means if you make a pledge of, say, $50 or $100, it's going to be good for $100 or $200. It gets doubled up to $30,000. So this is the hour to make that pledge, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Oh, look at this, Bill. Virginia from Oconomowoc says, this morning, Joy reminded me of why I want to send in my year-end pledge, the promise of comprehensive and balanced coverage of the upcoming 2014 elections. No one does it better than WPR.
Thank you, Virginia.
Nice. And so, Virginia, your pledge was doubled, and it will help pay for all of the programs that you value on Wisconsin Public Radio. And, yes, we will be doing lots and lots and lots of coverage of the 2014 election. So make a difference and make a pledge and have it doubled right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
2014 is going to be a busy year for us, Joy. I mean, we've got a lot of elections, not just gubernatorial, but we've got Congress. Just going to be a lot of stuff going on. So 2014 is going to be a big year, and yeah, certainly we're committed to bringing you both sides of the debate as we are doing this hour with John Nichols and Brian Schimming. So make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio if that's something that's important to you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and have your pledge doubled.
And I certainly knew what you meant, Bill. We sometimes say both sides, but it's all sides. We love to do all sides of the debate. And we do love to have with us great guests like Brian Schimming and John Nichols talking about the issues of the day. And let's talk a little bit about the 2014 race for governor in Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel ran a story over the weekend saying that State Senator Kathleen Vinehout is sounding more and more like she's going to challenge Mary Burke for the Democratic nomination for governor. So, John Nichols, should Kathleen Vinehout jump in? How might the race be different with a Democratic primary?
I absolutely think she should jump in. I think anybody else who wants to jump in should. I wish a mainstream Republican would jump in against Scott Walker on the Republican side. The fact of the matter is that Wisconsin started the open primary. The goal in this state was to get rid of party bosses and money people, the Gilded Age money power, from telling us who our candidates would be. And unfortunately, we have moved far too much toward, you know, what we tried to get away from. I'll just remind people, Democrats who fear having a primary, that Pat Lucey won a primary in 1970 before he became governor. Tony Earle won a primary in 1982 before he became governor. Jim Doyle won a primary in 2002 before he became governor. Bill Proxmire went through a primary before he became a senator. Russ Feingold, a primary before he became a senator. The fact of the matter is primaries are incredibly healthy for both parties. Scott Walker himself went through a tough primary in 2010. It made him a better candidate in the fall. So anybody who's opposed to primaries is just frankly running their head through the money power, and they ought to run their head through the democracy power.
Well, Brian Schimming, as a Walker supporter, which of the two candidates do you think Scott Walker would want to face, Mary Burke or Kathleen Vinehout?
Well, I think from Governor Walker's perspective, it probably really doesn't matter because it's a pretty considerable difference in philosophies. Look, I'm kind of amazed by what's going on over on the other side now in the Democratic Party. I debated Mike Tate, the chair of the Democratic Party, a couple of weeks ago, and Mike's good at what he does, but it seems as though they're trying to force a result in their primary here by having their folks try to push Kathleen Vinehout, who I do not know personally, but Senator Vinehout, out of the race in favor of Mary Burke. And I mean, from our perspective, with respect to Mary, I mean, Kathleen Vinehout is very liberal. She's an intelligent person. She's very liberal. She's a member of the Senate. But Mary Burke seems to be the anointed candidate of the state Democratic Party. And I'm sitting back after everything we've been through in the last 2 years and going, well, the state Democratic Party wants to push an official from a non-union company that ships Wisconsin jobs to China and has made a no promises campaign, famously now, a no promises campaign. We don't know where she is on Act 10. We don't know where she is on Obamacare in Wisconsin. We don't know where she is on tax cuts. And she's spending a lot of time, I think, avoiding committing to issues. Well, I assume that makes the race a little bit more interesting for Kathleen Vinehout. So I don't you know, Governor Walker will oppose whoever he ends up opposing, but I am struck by the Democratic Party's effort to push Kathleen Wynott out of any potential primary. I will say that.
John, isn't there some concern, though, that any acrimony during a primary might weaken the surviving candidate? Governor Walker then can use that as ammunition.
Look, Brian just threw out a couple of things there that are valid to discuss in a primary and to sort out. Where does Mary Burke stand on a whole host of issues? What about, you know, her record, frankly, the record of Trek, which is one that will be discussed. That is either going to get discussed in a fall race with Scott Walker, or it can be sorted out in a primary. I don't think there is any way that harm is done by the primary. And also, I don't care. I want to emphasize that. I don't care, because the fact of the matter is, if you want to have the strongest candidate of a party, you let the voters in that party's primary sort it out. You don't worry about whether the supposed front runner gets harmed or somebody else gets advantaged. You step back and let the voters have their say. I find it deeply troubling that under this model that we're talking about, right, where you had a wealthy candidate, it would have been Joe Shikoda, who was nominated in 1992, and State Senator Russ Feingold, who Brian would have said was very liberal and all these other things, would have been shoved to the sidelines. I'm sorry. I think Wisconsin benefited tremendously by the fact that State Senator Russ Feingold got in that race when everybody told him not to. He beat a sitting congressman and a millionaire, and he went on to be an incredibly great senator for 18 years.
Very briefly, because we have news coming up, Bill Krause, a longtime Republican strategist, told us and wrote a column about it that maybe Governor Walker won't even run for re-election as governor because, a hard-fought, close race for governor that he was predicting was not going to look good for a presidential resume. John, quickly, do you think he's going to run?
I think he's going to run because running without a platform in this moment for Scott Walker wouldn't work. He is clearly running for president in 2016. He's running hard, but he needs that platform. Unfortunately, Bill Krause is right. It does create vulnerabilities for a presidential run. So the governor's going out on a tightrope. It's going to make for some interesting politics to cover next year.
Yeah, and Brian, no doubt Governor Walker will run for re-election.
Yeah, Bill Krause is a friend, but I saw him on the street not too long ago, and I said, you're off on this one, pal. The governor's running for re-election, and he has good reason to. He's got a great record to run on, and he's looking forward to this race.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more from John Nichols and Brian Schimming in our next half hour. We're going to talk. I'm going to have them review Governor Walker's book, Unintimidated, coming up after the news. Bill Martins joins us right now, though, with an update on our challenge grant going on during this year-end mini drive.
Yeah, I guess first thing, we've got a goal of 320 pledges this hour. We need 270 more. So we've got about half an hour to get those in. But the incentive to do it this hour is that we've got a $30,000 matching grant. So if you make a pledge of, say, $50, it'll be good for $100. So your pledge is going to go twice as far, up to $30,000. So this is a great hour to go ahead and make that pledge of support to WDPR. And you can do so at WDPR.org or 888-202-2552.
At the end of the year is a great time to reflect on what you value. And the discussions that you enjoy every day on the Ideas Network have been an important part of your life all year long. So make that year-end gift right now and pay for the programming to come next year. And have your pledge doubled during this $30,000 challenge grant. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks to Thomas and Joyce from Cedarburg, who say that we gave an annual gift, but the matching contribution is too good to pass up. Thank you, Thomas and Joyce. The news is next. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is our year-end mini drive, and it is a short one, just a half a day. And your gift right now will be doubled because we have a $30,000 challenge grant in effect, meaning that every pledge that comes in between now and 8 o'clock will be doubled up to $30,000. So won't you make a big difference? Have your pledge doubled with a pledge of any amount, $10, $50, $500, whatever your year-end gift is, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's the only challenge grant of this mini drive. So after this hour, there isn't another chance to have your pledge doubled. You have to do it this hour. You have to do it by 8 o'clock. So you've got 25 minutes to do that. You can do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and help your pledge go a long way.
On this show, you hear multiple sides of an issue. You hear from great guests from different political perspectives, like the guests that we have with us today, John Nichols and Brian Schimming. Together, we keep up on the issues of the day, and we have some fun, and we follow our curiosity, and we allow you to participate. I shouldn't say allow. We welcome your participation. We want your participation as you call in with your views on the issues of the day, too. Now we are asking for your support, your pledge, whatever works into your budget, because you are the most important part of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget. Our programming is possible because of listener support. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Be one of the 230 or so pledges we're looking for by 8 o'clock to help us reach that goal this hour and have your pledge doubled. We have that matching grant up to $30,000. That's huge. Take advantage of it and make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thank you very much, Bill. We'll check back in just a bit to see how we're doing. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Let me welcome back our guest, John Nichols, who is the associate editor of the Capital Times and the Washington, D.C. correspondent for The Nation magazine and co-author of many books. And the latest is Dollarocracy. Is that right? I always forget that. And Brian Schimming is with us. Brian is vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. I wanted to talk a little bit about the governor's book, Unintimidated. It's been out for a couple of weeks now, but it's getting some bad reviews on Amazon.com. Conservatives say big labor is behind this, calling it a cyber attack, pointing to Facebook postings from labor groups urging their supporters to sabotage the ratings. As of yesterday afternoon, I'm not sure where it is right now, the book's average rating is 3 out of 5 stars. Brian Schimming, what do you make of these efforts by the anti-Walker crowd? Is this really that big of a deal?
No, it's not. Frankly, if they need to encourage their members and staff and everybody to go give bad reviews of the governor's book, that'll be about as effective as them loading up the state capitol last summer and running recall elections. Look, governor's got a story to tell. I mean, this is a story of the state going forward versus backward. And I always say he probably historically inherited the worst situation an incoming governor ever has. $3.5 billion deficit, years of tax increases, 9.2% unemployment, the state government raiding people's gas tax money, the patient's compensation fund. And so now, I mean, he had to make some tough decisions, no doubt about that. But if you look at where we are now versus where we were then, it's actually a pretty amazing story, and I think that's why he wrote the book. And look, if the labor folks and the protesters down in the rotunda want to go give them bad reviews on Amazon, let them go ahead.
Yeah, John Nichols, anything to be gained by Walker's critics giving poor marks on the book's Amazon page?
Can't imagine it. I tend to agree with Brian on that. I'm much more intrigued by the, I think it's a petition on MoveOn.org. Which I think has been signed by a lot of people asking Barnes & Noble to move the book to the fiction section. But the only thing I'd quibble with Brian on is the suggestion that the governor inherited the worst situation any governor in Wisconsin ever has. I'm going to guess that Governor Solomon, in the midst of the Civil War, when his predecessor was killed, inherited a worse situation. I'm going to guess that Phil La Follette, when he took over in 1930 from Governor Kohler in the midst of a wrenching depression, inherited a worse situation. Scott Walker is a fabulist. He believes that everything he does is the most amazing thing that ever happened. The reality is that in reading his book, I definitely think he has a very high opinion of himself, but I think he has an even higher opinion of the circumstance he came into. The reality is he came in at a time when a lot of states were having financial problems. Some states solved them in some ways, some states solved them in the others. Neighboring Minnesota solved them with raising taxes, keeping employees compensated, not going after the unions. And I'll note that the New York Times over the weekend just pointed out that Minnesota is sort of lapping Wisconsin in all the contests for job creation and economic growth.
Yeah, what about that, Brian? Minnesota doing better than Wisconsin?
No, I don't think that they are. And look, the people of this state made it very, very clear with the governor's election, because he put it out front and center that we were not going to raise taxes in this state, and we were going to make some tough decisions instead, which he was, you know, which he needed to do. I mean, Wisconsin was really, really in tough shape. We had 9.2% unemployment. We had over 10% unemployment. Somebody needed to make a step up and make decisions. So, frankly, Wisconsin wouldn't go the way of Illinois. I mean, Illinois decided to stay on the track that they were on with Democrat Governor Quinn, and Illinois is a basket case. So there could not be a more different parallel or comparison between the two states. And we're heading in the right direction now. It's because the governor stepped up and made the right decisions. And, frankly, the voters are the ones who rejected, not once, but twice. I mean, if there's a reason that Wisconsin and Governor Walker has gotten a lot of attention, it's because we stepped up and made tough decisions. And so hence the writing of the book, and I think the telling of really a terrific, terrific story. And the voters, as I say, they've had two opportunities now, and they'll have three very shortly, to decide whether they like Scott Walker. And I'll tell you, twice now they've decided they have.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled in Brian's embrace of democracy. I think it's a wonderful thing, and I tend to agree with him. I will point out that the governor in 2012 spent more money than anyone had ever spent in a Wisconsin gubernatorial race, and in fact spent more money than had ever been spent by all candidates in a Wisconsin gubernatorial race to hold on to his office with 53% of the vote. And all I will tell you is that this governor has, in fact, done what he sets out to do in this book, which is steer Wisconsinites away from their state, a focus on national politics. For him, it's been very, very good. He's brought in a lot of money from other places. But at some point, I think Wisconsinites may catch up with the reality that this is a governor who brings a national template to an upper Midwestern state. And unfortunately, that national template doesn't work for a state like Wisconsin. Our job creation is not what it should be. It's not what he said it should be. It's notable that in his book, he doesn't mention that he ran for governor on a promise to create 250,000 jobs. He creates a fantasy in the book, which suggests that he ran for governor to do what he did. That's not what he ran for governor to do. That's not what he talked about on the campaign trail. And he has shifted away from a laser focus on jobs to a laser focus on the Scott Walker for President campaign. I would just recommend that people take a good look at Minnesota, where Mark Dayton doesn't want to be president of the United States. He wants to be governor of Minnesota. And the fact of the matter is that every study, every measure says Minnesota is booming, being cited by all sorts of folks on the left and the right as a success story. The only person saying Wisconsin's a success story is Scott Walker. And I will accept that his amen corner may also say that. But the fact is, it hasn't worked.
Very briefly, Brian, you just kind of said you didn't think Minnesota was doing better than Wisconsin.
Well, with unemployment in Wisconsin, first of all, two very different situations, number one. But number two, with unemployment 2.5 points, over 2.5 points under what it was when Scott Walker took office. In fact, now at 6.5%, well below the national average with all the business ratings up, the job creation ratings up. The state's heading in the right direction, and the difficulty, I think, for the state Democratic Party is they have to convince people that things that things are worse now than they were when we had a $3.5 billion budget deficit, skyrocketing unemployment, skyrocketing taxes, skyrocketing debt, skyrocketing deficits, all of which have been eliminated. I think that's a tough case to make, and people want to move the state forward.
We have to do a quick mini drive, a pledge reminder. When we come back with Brian Schimming and John Nichols, we will talk more about Governor Walker's presidential aspirations. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Joining me is one of my producer directors, Bill Martins, with this update on a very, very important challenge grant that we have in place for this hour of the mini drive.
Indeed, we're looking for about 200 more pledges by 8 o'clock, so about 15 minutes. The reason you want to make that pledge this hour is because we have a special match going on, up to $30,000 from a group of generous donors who want to encourage you to join them in supporting WPR. Get your pledge doubled right now when you give. So if you make a pledge of $100, because of that matching grant, it'll be good for $200. So your pledge is going to go twice as far. Make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
On this show and on many on Wisconsin Public Radio, you will hear multiple sides of an issue, so you can make up your own mind, and you can count on hearing a fair and inclusive conversation. Together, we keep up on the issues of the day, and we also have some fun. And it wouldn't be possible without your support. So do make that contribution of any amount. There's no such thing as a pledge that is too small. And especially right now with the pledge being doubled, you make your pledge of $10 or $20 or $100, whatever the case may be, and it will be doubled, but only for the next 15 minutes. So if you've been thinking of making that gift, especially a year-end gift, make it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Nancy and Dave from Plover say, we listen every morning. Now we're every month supporters. Well, way to go, Nancy and Dave. That's the way to do it. And you can be like Nancy and Dave by becoming a sustainer. Your pledge will renew automatically. You won't have to remember to do it. It'll just happen. It's more convenient for you. And we know that we can depend on your funding as well. So it's a great way to go. Sign up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and take advantage of that $30,000 matching grant.
Yeah, here's a New Year's resolution that you can take care of in just a few minutes, and it's one that you will be likely to and glad to keep. You want to support your source for information, entertainment, and inspiration with a pledge right now. Your pledge helps keep you and your community informed by the programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. So give to a cause that you value, a service that you think is important, and make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Well, I'm just going to go out and say it right now. We are just over halfway. We have $16,000 plus raised right now.
Wow.
Meaning that there's still we still have 14,000 to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that means this challenge grant is still in effect and will be in effect with your pledge. So do double your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you have to do it this hour. You have to do it by 8 o'clock because this is the only matching grant of this mini drive. The drive ends at 12:30. Thankfully, but for this morning, this is your one and only shot to take advantage of that $30,000 matching grant. So make that pledge now and make sure your pledge of support goes to support the programs you depend on Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Nancy and Dave and Plover, who we already thanked. They say they listen every morning, and now they're every month supporters. Thanks to Susan from Madison, who says, what a pleasure to be able to support quality programming for our community. Thank you. And thanks to Denise from Racine, who says, thanks for being my learning partner on weekdays and my entertainment on Saturday and Sunday mornings. Thank you. Double your pledge, double the impact of your pledge by contributing any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll find out at the end of the hour if we made that $30,000 challenge. Let me welcome back Brian Schimming, Vice Chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and John Nichols, Associate Editor for the Capital Times and the Washington, D.C. correspondent for The Nation magazine. So, Brian Schimming, is Governor Walker going to run for president?
Well, the governor's focused on being governor, so I don't know. I don't think he's – I think everyone else thinks he spends his time thinking about it. He kind of laughs about it because he's like he doesn't have to think about it because everyone else spends their time talking about it. He's focused on being governor, and frankly, with the challenges that he was left when Governor Doyle pulls out of town, he had to spend all of his time focused on being governor plus some, and that's where he is today, and ultimately – you know, if something else happens in the future, it's going to be largely focused on him doing a good job. So I always say good policy is good politics, and he's focused on good policy. I'm kind of astounded by some of this talk sometimes in the respect that, look, I'm in Wausau this morning, and I'm from Madison, and both my parents worked at UW-Madison, and I've worked around the Capitol for years. But one thing that I think we found from the recalls last year is folks sometimes there are in a bubble, whereas if people here in Wausau and the other places around the state that I go, they're focused on their taxes and jobs and getting their kids to school and tuition at the UW system and everything else during the day. And the people in the Capitol bubble are kind of focused on what Scott Walker might do next, or the fact that he's putting out a book. And I will just tell you, not only from anecdotally from what I may hear around the state, but from the research I see, you know, what Scott Walker does next is, you know, he's focused on being governor. The political folks obsess on other things.
All right, John, you're convinced he wants to?
No, I'm convinced he is. Look, Brian says that the governor laughs about it. Well, he laughs about it on his private jet flying to the campaign fundraiser in New York City he was at last week, or to the events in Washington, D.C., to the campaign events in South Carolina and Alabama and Florida and California. I mean, the fact of the matter is this guy is running desperately and full on for president of the United States. He's spent immense amounts of time outside the state maintaining that campaign. One of the fundamental differences between Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson is that Tommy Thompson also wanted to be president. There's no doubt of that.
That's right.
But Tommy so loved being governor of Wisconsin that he could never get out of the state enough to kind of nurture up that national campaign. And when Tommy Thompson wrote a book about, you know, in the mid-1990s, it was called Power to the People. It was so drenched in Wisconsin, I mean, that it really didn't translate very well to national politics. Scott Walker's different. He is a national political player. He is not a Wisconsin political player. His heart and soul is in being the next Ronald Reagan. His book drips with that passion. And that's fair enough, but the question Wisconsinites will have to ask themselves is, do they want to keep Scott Walker as governor so that he has a base and a salary with which to run for president of the United States in 2016, or would they like someone who's actually interested in being governor?
Let's talk a little bit about one of the – on his book tour, Governor Walker has been saying that people want bold leaders, not leaders who are going to compromise, was saying that the Republican Party does not have to move to the center to be viable, and extolling the virtues of one-party government, that you know, the executive and the legislature is of one party. So, Brian Schimming, is that what the people want?
Well, I think the governor's real message in the book is that you need to be big and you need to be bold. And he was handed such an intractable set of issues, deficits, higher taxes, joblessness, other issues in Wisconsin that had come from years of domination from the other side. And the people made a very, very conscious decision in this state to go in a different direction. And when the folks down in the rotunda and the folks protesting and the folks that go to Amazon to protest his book and all that, when they thought they had the smart play, which was to attack the governor personally and politically, that failed. In the recall election that they set up, that message failed very, very dramatically. And so I think what Scott Walker is saying in his book is you need to be bold, and frankly, you need to create an alternative vision of how things can be better, which is where he's trying to lead the state. I should thank the protesters and other folks who sit around carping about the governor, because I guarantee you they give him more publicity than he could ever get on a national book tour.
But, John, but we have
the matter is he enjoys being governor, and that's what he's focused on.
John?
I thank the protesters as well. I think that they reminded us that we have a constitution that says we have a right to assemble and petition for the redress of grievances. You don't always get that redress immediately, but it's interesting that in everything that Brian just said, you could take the name Scott Walker out, take Wisconsin out, put Barack Obama in, put the United States in. That's, you know, he inherited a tough situation, the spoils of one-party government, things of that nature. And the fact of the matter is that Brian would not cut Barack Obama much slack at this point. And I think that a lot of other people are not going to cut Scott Walker a bunch of slack. The fact is, Scott Walker is running full on for president of the United States. That is not a good model for running for re-election as governor of Wisconsin. Wisconsinites love their state. We're very, very proud of this place. We think being governor of Wisconsin is a pretty big deal, and that you don't have to be all that excited about doing something else. So I think the governor may, in fact, want people to believe he is unintimidated. I actually think he's one of the more intimidated politicians in the country. He is intimidated by his own ambition, which I fear prevents him from focusing on Wisconsin.
Oh, John gets last word, Brian, because we're out of time. thanks very much to both of you. We really appreciate your time, and I hope you'll come back again when we're not having a mini-pledge drive. Brian Schimming is vice chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and John Nichols is with the Capital Times and The Nation magazine and co-author of Dollarocracy. Bill Martens joins me for the last couple of minutes of this hour with I think some very exciting news.
Yeah, we are almost at that $30,000 match. We are just a hair over $28,000. So you can still, that matching grant technically is still in effect. So if you want to make that pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, you need to act now, and you can have your pledge doubled. So if you make a $100 pledge, it'll be good for $200, up to $30,000, which is right around the corner. So you need to act now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Duke and Carolyn from North Prairie, Wisconsin say, "You're the best, WPR. We wanted to take advantage of the $30,000 match right now, thanks to those generous donors who are matching. Thank you very much for your pledge." That's right. Thanks to these Wisconsin Public Radio contributors who pooled together some money to say, here, use this to encourage others to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and they will double your pledge right now. Two more minutes to go in this challenge grant hour. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yep, WPR.org, 888-202-2552. Make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio and help ensure that programs like the Joy Cardine Show and that these discussions like what we just had here with John Nichols and Brian Schimming continue, because next year is going to be an awfully important year, being an election year. Not just here for governor of Wisconsin, but we've also got the Senate and the U.S. House as well. So a lot of stuff going on, and we plan on being a big part of bringing you all those updates that happen on the campaign trail and afterwards. So make that pledge of support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, you might be a procrastinator, so this year-end mini drive is for you. You don't have time to procrastinate. You might have been thinking all year long that you love Wisconsin Public Radio, that you listen every day, that you value the programming, and that you really should contribute. Well, you have a half day to do that right now. And in fact, you have a couple of minutes to do it during this hour. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And Bill, I think a drum roll is in order.
And there's a celebration out in our lobby as you were wrapping up that pitch there. We passed the $30,000 mark. We're actually at $30,900. So thank you very much for all of you who made that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio and helped us meet that grant. So that is awesome. That is so encouraging. We really appreciate that. And if you still haven't made your pledge yet, hey, it's still a great time to go ahead and do so. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I certainly hope the calls and pledges continue to come in, because right now we have, yes, met the challenge grant, so the $30,000 matching grant. However, we still need your contributions, mm-hmm. because we need to raise enough listener support to help pay for the programs that you value. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and make a difference with your pledge.
And remember, we're only doing this mini drive until 12:30 this afternoon, so we're trying to cram a whole bunch of pledge into a very small window. So your pledge right now is awfully important. And again, you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.